One of the things that I learned in this past week is that you can buy beer in Darlington County on Sundays.
Yes.
Just like at a store.
Yep, packaged beer.
Yeah, and so we learned this because friend of the show, frequent guest Hillary, had an impromptu invite us over to help build a swing set on Sunday. It was 102 in the shade, which there was no shade. And we sweated bullets, but we got most of that thing put together before the rain came. So that being said, also, Hartsville, you've been able to drink on Sundays.
Welcome
in Hartsville
to
for a while. We stopped by Vintage. And also, there's a bar over there called Retrofit.
Yep.
Sip and Sit. And I'm pretty sure they named their bar after our podcast.
I think they should invite us over to do a live cast.
A live podcast at the Retrofit. I think that's a great idea. Speaking of podcasts, this is Cinema Chop Shop. Welcome to the show. This is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is Trunk Trumpet Travis, and I will be your host. And I'm joined, as always, here in the shop by my main man, my co-host, Savannah Sean. Yours is much less controversial than mine.
I'll never forget.
The Brew Boss. No, Savannah, as in, like, one of the places where elephants live.
Well, I just said, like, an elephant never forgets.
Oh, I get it. All right. And we don't have any guests today. It's just the two of us here in the shop, but that is all right. A further description of the show, the tagline at the top says, watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes classic films with iconic actors, sometimes not as much. Then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts. And what we mean by new parts is contemporary actors. We don't have an energy drink today, but that's okay. But we will go directly into the Department of Corrections department. All right, so there's several for this week. Apparently, we were flying loosey-goosey on the previous week's episode. All right, so one of the actors I was trying to think of, that I was thinking of during one of your recasts, his name's Ed Skrein. Ed Skrein was not in Hitman 47, but he is in The Transporter Reborn. All right, but more importantly, he plays Ajax in the first Deadpool movie. He's like one of the main villains in Deadpool with Ryan Reynolds, who was also in a movie called The Hitman's Bodyguard. So I think therein the confusion lies with that one. All right. After that, James Coburn. This is less of a correction and more of a, we couldn't think of what it was, but James Coburn won the Oscar for a movie called Affliction in 1997.
Okay.
And off the top of my head, I don't completely remember the premise of that movie. I was probably interested in other things at the time in 1997. But that was one thing I wanted to bring up. After that, the discussion about the Monkees when we did our honey roast of Mickey Dolenz, I looked into the Hendrix connection a little bit more. And as far as him like being brought in to teach them how to play guitar, that's kind of an urban myth. He may have taught them a few things while he was on tour with the Monkees, which he actually was for a brief period of time. But he ended up only playing like less than half of the shows that he was contracted for because all of the fans were there to see the Monkees. They were like a bubblegum group of fans, and he got tired of it. So he left the tour, like famously left the Monkees tour. And then we've got some other corrections from frequent listener and commenter emailer Dana, right?
Yeah, I think that we've decided
we're friend of
make,
the show.
They were gonna make her an intern of the show.
Yeah, she's gonna be in charge of the corrections department. Yeah. Anything that we say, or more particularly that I say that is not correct, that you catch that I don't, because sometimes it's like I'm biased when I'm listening to myself. I might not catch something that I say that's bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yep. All right, so here come Dana's corrections.
Yes.
Chloe Sevigny.
As in Sevigny?
Seven E.
Okay. That's good. That's good. I need to know that. And a good way, a mnemonic device on that would be like 70, but without the D.
Yeah.
70.
Soleil Moon Fry.
Soleil Moon Fry. Like Cirque du Soleil. Does Soleil. Soleil mean sun in French? Get back to us, Dana. One of the things about Soleil Moon Frye is she is, in fact, a writer and director now. But she doesn't have very many projects under her belt. A couple of movies. Continue.
The actress who played Bridget in the Lizzie Borden movie, it's pronounced Fanuala.
Fanula?
Fanuala.
Fanuala.
I pronounce it Fionola.
Okay.
So she corrected me.
Nice.
Termon Feckin was right. I got it right. Great. Regarding the Monkees, two of them, Peter Tork and Mike Nesmith, were already gigging musicians when they were cast in the Monkees. Davey had done musical theater, so he had some singing chops. Drink. Wikipedia says Mickey was had a band at one point, so he had some musical background. She's not sure if he had to be taught to drum or not, though Jimi Hendrix opened for the Monkees you mentioned just now.
Mickey Dolenz is going to come up in the 2018 movie marathon today.
Cool. Fun fact, Dana met Davy Jones back in 2001 at a golf tournament.
No shit.
She also met Barry Williams.
Cool.
From Brady Bunch.
Oh, Barry Williams. Yeah. Gotcha. Is that Greg or is that the dad?
That's Greg.
Greg, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So there we go. That's
Speaking of Dana, no. Speaking before we end the segment, she sent us an email. She was the email that we were referring to last week, and she sent me a link to an article about. It was a list. It was 10 movies that most people have forgotten exist. And I clicked on the link. And so I've got the 10 written down here. And so I want to see if of these 10, had you forgotten about them?
Okay.
All right. So the first one is A Serious Man.
I saw it. Remember it.
It's a Coen Brothers movie. It's not one of their highlight movies. It's kind of up there with or down there with, say...
Lady Killers.
The Lady Killers or Burn After Reading. Perhaps. Then we've got Spy Game.
Who's in Spy Game?
Robert Redford and Brad Pitt, or the young Robert Redford, Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
So then we've got Pump Up the Volume.
Oh yeah, I love that.
Christian
movie.
Slater.
Love that movie.
As Happy Harry Hardon. Of course, I love that movie. Gross Point Blank.
Oh, never forget that film.
Has a soft spot for me because I used to use that as my girlfriend thermometer test. Like, if a girl would watch that and at least enjoy it, then we would go out again, you know? All right, then we've got Clockers. Now, this is the one that I was the least familiar with, and I probably have not
seen.
And
who is in it?
Harvey Keitel is in it, and it's like a police drama in, like, gangland.
I remember it coming out, but I have not seen it.
All right, next up, we've got Master and Commander.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Russell
that's
Crowe.
Not even the whole title, right? It's like, no. Master and Commander Across the Seven Seas. Then we've got, this is a great one, 25th Hour.
Who is in that
25th
one?
Hour is Ed Norton, and he is convicted of a drug distribution charge, and he's going to prison.
Huh.
And it's like the day before he has to turn himself in, and it's all the like psychological, dramatic, traumatic things that are going on in his mind and his relationship. And there's more to it than that for sure.
Okay.
Then we've got this one I didn't see, but I do remember, and I'm not sorry that I never forgot this. It's called Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. It's the 9/11 movie with Tom Hanks. Are we doing okay over there?
Yeah.
All right. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
I remember it. I have not seen it.
I haven't seen it either. I don't want to watch a movie about that. Then She-Devil.
Oh, yeah.
She-Devil. Roseanne Barr.
Roseanne Barr, yeah.
And Meryl Streep.
Yep.
Roseanne Barr and Meryl Streep. Probably the only feature film that Roseanne Barr really has under her wings, besides like documentaries about how crazy she is. And then finally, Munich. Munich about the Olympics.
Oh yeah, I like that movie.
Yeah, it's got it's got the current James Bond, Daniel Craig, and then also I believe Eric Bana.
Yeah,
is in that.
Yeah,
movie.
That's right. He is in it.
Yeah, and it was directed by Steven Spielberg.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
So those are all good movies, and I think that if you have forgotten about those movies, you may have forgotten the face of your father. Not you, Dana. I meant that as an expression. All right. So let's get into the theme of the episode. As we close the doors on the Department of Corrections Department, let's go ahead and get into the theme of the episode. We're doing elephant movies.
Why are we doing elephant movies?
Because on the day that this will air, not the day of recording, but the day that this will air, August 12th, that's this coming Sunday, it's World Elephant Day. And World Elephant Day is an international day that observes the need to preserve...
Republicans.
Not the grand old party, but the grand old
ivories.
Oh. It's an international day that is meant to promote the preservation and protection of the world's remaining elephants. And it's a really good cause. I actually watched
is it kind of like the Purge where we can like kill poachers
for
without
24 hours?
Kill poachers without any penalty? That would be awesome.
And then you team up with the elephants?
Yes, and stomp the shit out of them.
Elephant riders are coming from the north. So I watched a documentary, and I couldn't count it on my movie marathon because it was a BBC program. It was only like 59 minutes long, but it was called Ivory Wars Out of Africa. And I learned a few things from it. One is that African elephants, there's actually two different species of them. There's the savanna dwelling elephants, and then there's the forest dwelling elephants, and they're as different in species as, say, a moose and a deer.
Oh wow.
And one of them has an extra toe that the other one doesn't have. And because the forest dwelling elephants are so hard to track for like the legit trackers, there's no money to be gained in terms of tourism. So they fall prey to poachers more often.
More often.
Yeah. Another thing that I learned from this documentary is that there's been an international ban on trading ivory since the late 1980s. However, that's only on trading internationally. So individual countries get to set their own domestic policies about whether or not it's legal to sell ivory. In fact, a bunch of African countries, when this movie came out, it was like 2012, so it's been a little while, but even at that time, a bunch of African countries were voting to make it legal to sell stockpiled ivory, right? So apparently there's just warehouses of ivory tusks just sitting around because of the ban. They haven't been able to sell it, and they need money. And so anyway, when they do pass these legislations, that causes the price of ivory to go up,
right,
which in turn encourages poaching, you know? So it's the whole situation is
cycle.
Just fucked.
Yeah.
So I think it's an important thing to talk about. And that's the reason that we're doing this episode today. So that's enough seriousness about elephants. Although with the recast, another thing I wanted to do is to see if they pass the moral dilemma test.
Oh,
with our recast movies. All right, so moving it along to one of our favorite segments. It's the Midnight Double Feature. This is where we each take a turn recommending two films that are related to the theme and related to each other. They would be good movies to watch in succession, maybe in a public setting, maybe projected on the side of a house. A double feature, if you will. So, Sean, do you want to go first with yours?
Yeah, I can go first.
I just realized I don't have my visual presentation queued up.
Oh, yeah, get your business out.
Yes.
And by that, I mean your rock hard erection brought on by consuming ground up elephant bits.
Trunk Travis.
Okay. So these are not necessarily recommendations, but they do go nicely together. They feature elephants in a supporting role.
Okay.
Not a starring role. Hardly a starring role. The first one is from, 1995.
Okay.
Starring Jim Carrey.
Oh.
It is Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls.
Oh, yeah. So this is the second one. This is Ace Ventura 2.
This movie is terrible.
This is the one where they, he's in a fake elephant or a fake rhino?
A rhino. He births himself out of a rhino.
Well, 15-year-old Travis found that hilarious.
It's nothing more than a string of catchphrases and sight gags. It's really a bad movie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hold up at all.
To the first one.
It doesn't hold up, period. But to the first one, it doesn't even hold a candle. Because at least that, as formulaic as it was mm-hmm. kind of fresh. And you crack a smile for some of the oddities. Because it was new.
Yes.
This is nothing more than just rehashing old shit.
Gotcha. All right.
So the second film I'm following up with that is 1997's classic, not really, starring Brendan Fraser and Leslie Mann.
Is it George of the Jungle?
George of the Jungle.
Nice.
Leslie Mann was so cute.
Oh, she still is.
She's still beautiful. Don't get me wrong, but she was so freaking cute.
When did This Is 40 come out?
When she was 40?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. But yeah, this was a fun movie. It's charming. Whereas it's just as silly as Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, but this has an amount of charm to it.
Yeah. Who doesn't love Brendan Fraser, too?
I never really cared for him myself. But, this has, poop.
What's your problem with Brendan Fraser?
I don't know. I just never really cared for him.
Is it The Mummy?
No.
Is it
Encino Man?
Encino Man?
It's probably Encino Man.
I like Encino Man.
But yeah, this has poop jokes and silly
it's
stuff for kids. Yeah, but there's a certain amount of charm to it. Thomas Hayden Church is in it too.
Lowell.
Yeah, he was.
I love
there.
Lowell.
It's the better of the two in my opinion.
All right, cool. Well, I mentioned before that I went with a couple of animated movies, and not only are they animated movies about elephants, they both convey a certain moral message, almost a related moral message. All right, so the first one is a classic. In fact, it's 1941's Dumbo. The reason I can always remember that it is from 1941 is because in the movie 1941, the Colonel goes to watch by himself. He goes to watch Dumbo and he cries.
Nice.
then also talking about the moral of the movie, I feel like it's sometimes your idiosyncrasies might just be your greatest gifts. I think that's one of the messages that you're supposed to take from Dumbo. Because, he's weird. He's got those big floppy ears. But guess what? No spoilers. Something's up with those ears, guys. We should also probably mention that there's a terrible idea remake happening right now. It's probably already in post-production.
Yeah, isn't Spielberg behind it?
It's Tim Burton.
Oh, Tim Burton. Okay, yes. That's right. It's that super realistic computer animation.
Like the
Polar Express.
Like the Polar Express, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's the new version of Dumbo is going to be coming out in 2019.
Sounds like fresh nightmare fuel.
Right. So that's going to be my first pick. The original. Real animation. And then I'm pairing that with a movie from much later, 2008. It's Horton Hears a Who. And Horton Hears a Who is based on the book by Dr. Seuss, of course. And it is the second animated film based on that book. The first one came out in 75. This one is much more recent, like I said, 2008. And it is a CGI animated movie, but it still gets across that important message that a person is a person no matter how small. Because, of course, in the movie, Horton is the only one who can hear the Who's in Whoville, because they live in a universe that's on a speck of dust. So it also gets into this real kind of meta, microcosm, macrocosm dynamic thing that's pretty cool too. So that's going to be my double feature about elephants.
I like it.
It lightens it up a little bit, because it is a sad and serious subject, you guys. We got to do something about these elephants. They're tearing down my clotheslines. All right. So we're done with the midnight double feature.
Yeah, I
think that was pretty good. I like the tangential relationship of yours, and then the relationship between the two on mine. So now we're gonna get into our feature segment. We're gonna go with the shittier one first. Operation Dumpo Drop, as I like to call it. It's really called Operation Dumbo Drop, guys. I was making a joke about the name because it's a shitty movie. 1995. It's directed by Simon Windsor, and he actually changed his last name to Windsor after he saw the final cut of this film. Because he was just wincing at it. It's not true.
You know, Ray Liotta still thinks this is a good film.
Oh, man. But
I heard him recently talking about this on
you know, like Operation Dumbo Drop? It's probably one of my finest films.
Yeah. He was like... yeah, exactly.
Simon Windsor also directed... He's an Australian director. He directed Quigley Down Under. He directed Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man. He directed Free Willy. He also directed Lightning Jack with Crocodile Dundee. He also directed The Phantom with Billy Zane. That's The Phantom with Billy Zane. And also Crocodile Dundee 3, Croc in Los Angeles.
Oh, I thought it was called Straight to Video.
Straight to Video. Crocodile, straight to DVD. Operation Dumbo Drop is supposedly based on true events. I can't see how. I think my official review was, I'll believe this is based on a true story when elephants fly. But it's basically about a retiring army captain in Vietnam. It's set in the 70s in Vietnam, and a retiring army captain portrayed by Danny Glover.
Too old for this shit.
He's too old for this shit. He's like 2 weeks from retirement. He has kind of embedded himself with this particular group of South Vietnamese. And he, through no fault of his own, well, maybe a little fault of his own, he brings the wrath of the NVA on them, because a little kid steals a candy bar out of his pocket, and the NVA sees that and realizes that the village is cooperating with the Americans, and so they kill one of their elephants. And so he vows, Danny Glover vows, to bring them another elephant. It's the last thing he wants to do before he retires. The premise is bullshit. Come on. So we've got Danny Glover. He's Captain Sam Cahill. We've got Ray Liotta. He's replacing Captain Sam Cahill. He's the guy who's showing up to relieve him of his duty. And he's like, wait, I got one more thing to do. And then we've also got Dennis Leary, who they... blackmail into helping them on the mission, right?
Yeah, he's the guy who can get anything.
Yeah, he's their connect. And then finally, we've got Dougie Doug, who is playing specialist for number four, Harvey Ashford. He was, I'm pretty sure this is just after Cool Runnings.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it's just after Cool Runnings. I have more to say about Dougie Doug when we get to him. All right, so So throughout the course of the film, they have to go and locate an elephant and try to bring it back. And they have to drop the elephant out of an airplane.
As the title would lead you to believe.
The cover art shows you what they're planning on doing.
It says it's a lot of laughs.
Yeah, it's not.
It's a lot.
There's hardly any laughs. I think this one doesn't pass the moral dilemma test. Because they're using this elephant as like a bartering chip. And they're... in fact, one of the taglines is, if it weighs 4 tons, how can it be a secret weapon? So they're talking about, like, weaponizing animals.
Yeah, it's... And that elephant was probably traumatized from the travel.
Yes. Do you mean Ty, the elephant? Ty?
Well, I'm just...
Playing Rosie?
In the supposedly true story.
In the supposedly true story. It's got a 31% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is a crock of shit, speaking of Croc 3 in L.A.
It's a bunch of dung.
Yeah, it's a bunch of elephant dung. But let's get into our recast of it. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea.
All right, so first up, we've got Danny Glover. He was 49 at the time. He was playing Captain Sam Cahill. And I was trying to think of a well-respected, aging, black, comedic actor. And by aging, I don't mean old. I'm just saying, you know, like middle age to end of middle age.
Okay.
And so I went with Chris Rock.
Oh, nice.
He's one of my favorites. I actually considered him for a couple of different roles today. But he is I think he's well respected. There haven't been any scandals, as far as I know. Like with him, he's not indicted by the Me Too movement yet. Mm-hmm. The last movie I saw him in was called The 10, and it was all about like top 10 lists, but also about like interpersonal dynamics, which is pretty cool. So Chris Rock, he's going to be my guy who's playing the too old for this shit Captain Sam Cahill.
Well, my picks have a theme. And you'll probably pick up on it very quickly.
All right.
So my first casting, he was in the very terrible 2003 movie Stuck on You, starring Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear. He was the head surgeon.
Okay.
He was also on the crew, I guess, as a consultant for the movie Gifted Hands, starring Cuba Gooding Jr. That's also known as the Ben Carson story. I'm casting Ben Carson.
Oh, shit. Ben Carson, he's not an actor.
He's got IMDb creds.
What the hell? I guess he was acting like he was going to run for president.
Maybe.
Man, that's interesting. So I think my pick's better. Let's move it along to Ray Liotta. We just talked about Ray Liotta last week.
Yep.
And it didn't dawn on me at the time that he was going to be coming up in our recast.
See, I left a gift for you.
You did. And you, because you've been watching the movies ahead of time too, whereas I'm a slacker and I just, you know, watch them as soon as I have to, mm-hmm. or by the time I have to. Next up, we've got Ray Liotta as Captain T.C. Doyle. I mentioned that he was replacing Danny Glover, and he's also he's kind of your by the book guy, right? Like he doesn't agree with some of the way things are being operated, and he would like to go ahead and take command and straighten some things out without having to go run across the countryside getting this elephant mm-hmm. back. So go ahead and give me your Captain T.C. Doyle.
Okay, he was in Comedy Sketch TV Time in 2016. He was in a film called Undecided, the movie. And
Undecided about the people who couldn't. No, I'm thinking of Undeclared.
No, this is Undecided, okay. The movie. And he was in a film called Courting Des Moines. I'm talking about Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz. He's not in those movies. What the hell, man?
Ray Liotta's kind of oily, and
yeah.
And Ted Cruz is very.
You can't trust him.
He's very eely.
Yeah.
So that's my pick.
Even his own offspring don't trust him. All right, so I went more face value, and I know that I've used this this person before in recasting on this show, but he does have some acting like he's in the military experience. He's also got blue eyes, got a nice square jaw, and I went with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of face value. I'm not super excited about this pick, but it's definitely not a evil politician theme, if that's what you're going for. You may not know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Next up, we've got Chief Warrant Officer 3, David Poole. Shout out to Joey Poole, spelled the same way. He was portrayed by Dennis Leary. I'll go first with mine. I haven't recast this person before, or I haven't used this person to recast before. But we have talked about him. We have recast him on the Drew Barrymore episode. And the whole time I was watching this character, it reminded me of one Jake Busey.
Nice. I like that.
Jake Busey's a bit older than Dennis Leary was at the time. He's actually 47 now. Can you believe Jake Busey's 47? That's crazy, right?
It is crazy.
Speaking of people getting old... one of the reasons that we're moving things along kind of swiftly tonight is there is a surprise birthday party happening tonight for the Bridge Man, who is turning 48 years old.
48 years old.
This evening. Yeah. So we have
to move it along. Yeah. We're at 30 minutes already.
All right. So we've got your pick for Chief Warrant Officer 3, David Poole.
All right. He was in the 2001 film Waking Life as the man in the car with a PA. He was also in the movie A Scanner Darkly.
Oh, yeah.
As the street prophet.
Those are both directed by the same person, I think.
Probably, yeah. And I'm talking about Alex Jones.
That's not true. He's not. He's not. That's not real.
Yes, it is.
He's really in that movie?
Yes.
That's crazy.
InfoWars Alex Jones is
Fuck
in this
him.
Movie.
Do I need to remind the listeners about how I covered up the InfoWars sticker on the bridge with the Hello Kitty duct
yes,
tape?
Yes, yes.
I'm still proud of that. Every time I drive across the bridge on Edisto, I'm like, Hello, Kitty! Speaking of kitties, Will wanted me to tell everyone that he took Philip to the vet and he had a hole in his paw. Philip, evil... Black Philip the cat that we became familiar with last week.
Is that why he was crying?
I know. I asked him. I was like, so he wasn't just being an asshole? And he was like, well, that's debatable. So it might have just been Philip being Philip.
One of our listeners commented to me directly that the Black Philip was the scariest thing she had ever heard.
The cat?
Yeah.
Well, she should see the video.
Yeah.
The eyes, it might have just been because of the way my phone shoots video, the eyes were glowing red. All right. So... we got one more, right? We got Dougie Doug. So I'm going to go first with mine because I have to confess, the whole time I was watching this and thinking about it, I thought it was Dougie Fresh. And I still, like, I just learned today that Dougie Doug was not a rapper and Dougie Fresh is not an actor. I kind of conflated those two people. It might be... it might be white privilege. I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize. But because of that, I cast a rapper.
Okay.
But he is a rapper who is moving into the world of film and cinema. He's going to be in an upcoming movie called Slice.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a pizza delivery guy who gets murdered.
Okay.
I'm talking about Chance the Rapper. And I think that Chance the Rapper could really pull off the
He's very Dougie charismatic. Doug.
He really is. I may have mentioned before that he camps out general admission at Bonnaroo every year. Even if he's not performing, he just goes and camps.
I love it.
All right, who do you have for Dougie Doug?
All right, so for Dougie Doug, I cast someone who was in House of Cards. He was also a commentator in Atlas Shrugged.
Oh, boo.
He was the producer of the movie The First American. And he was a newscaster in the movie The Siege in 1998. I'm talking about Sean Hannity.
No.
Now, I'm not saying that Sean Hannity is going to don blackface. That is outside my control.
Yeah.
He might do it. He might go full Tropic Thunder.
He might. That's I still am very skeptical that all these people have IMDb credits.
I've got them printed out right here.
That is crazy.
These are all legit picks. And then, of course, the bonus pick is even more legit.
The bonus pick that we're going to get to...
No, we do it now.
We'll do it right now.
I gotta do it now because it's on theme with
Who's
mine.
The bonus pick?
I am recasting the elephant.
Whose original name, whose real name is Ty. And Ty is 49 years old. The elephant is still acting. You know, elephants live a long time. And who did you recast as the elephant?
I'm going to cast Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders as the elephant. That's pretty harsh. I was thinking... Rush Limbaugh, maybe Rush Limbaugh might fit your theme.
Mine's more age appropriate.
It's true. How old is Rush Limbaugh? He's got to be like 112 now.
So there
right?
you go. That's my GOP recast of Operation Dumbo Drop.
That's crazy. I love the theme. Do you have a theme for your?
No.
Okay.
No,
all right.
The next one's legit. I promise.
All right. All right. So that was incredible. So. What we need to do now is go ahead and go into our intermission. But before we do, we just want to say, let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves some elephants.
Okay.
All right, Cinema Chop Shoppers. This is your host, Travis, just chiming in here at intermission to remind you about our online presence. We are on Facebook. We're facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We post things about upcoming episodes as well as the Chop Shopper Challenge where you, the listeners, can pick some roles to recast yourselves. We're also on Twitter. We do some similar things on there. The Chop Shopper Challenge check-ins. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. If you ever want to comment on the show, that would be a good place to do it.
as well as our email address. We are cinemachopshop@gmail.com. And we take suggestions for future episodes and any sort of commentary on the show. If you have corrections, if you notice some things that I say that might not necessarily be true, please let us know about that, because we do, the Department of Corrections Department. Once again, thank you, the listeners, for bearing with us during the intermission, and thank you for listening to the show. Remember, you can rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, or like us on whatever platform it is that you listen to your podcasts. And also, please remember to watch, shop, retrofit. Thank you, Chop Shoppers, for bearing with us during intermission. I swear to God that we're going to record a new intermission segment. That one's getting on my nerves. Speaking of getting on people's nerves, Hillary of Hildo's Dildos, she was mentioning to me that for some reason her Bluetooth on her phone and her car stereo automatically defaults to this podcast. So every time she starts her car, it's just me blaring through her speakers, which I thought was hilarious. All right, so when we come back from intermission, we like to do the beer check-in. And we are drinking a beer today that I believe is probably the most on-theme beer we could get, at least in our area. And it's called Delirium Red. People are familiar with the Delirium brand out there, right, Sean?
Yeah, the Tremens.
Delirium Tremens is probably their most well-known.
But the red is interesting. If you've ever had Lindemans.
Now, is Lindemans actually a beer?
Yeah, it's considered a beer. And it's very similar, although Lindemans is much sweeter than this. But both have this very cherry red color. And it's a fine beer.
I'm enjoying it. I went with this over the Tremens because to me, Tremens is much more of that Belgian sweet style. Am I wrong about that? Is it
not? No, you're right.
Okay, so that's why I avoided that. It kind of gives me a little bit of sugar shock when I drink it, whereas this is a little bit more tart.
It starts out a little sweet, but then it kind of flattens out towards the back.
Gotcha. All right, so that is our beer check-in for this week. It's the Delirium Red. I've already got it written down, so I'll be able to check that in promptly. And we're going to move into our next segment, which is the 2018 Movie Marathon. It is the 222nd day of the year. 222! And Sean, what are you on? What number are you on? Impress everyone.
I am at 308.
308. Jesus Christ. So you saw more than a movie a day since we last recorded.
Yeah, I kind of found myself in front of the idiot box a lot this week.
I gotcha. Well, I'm on 287, so I made some progress this week. I watched some things that are kind of tangentially related.
We're killing it, man.
Yeah, we're going to be done before anybody even knows it.
And I know I previously said that I'm going to stop counting, but I think I'm going to keep counting.
Keep counting.
Yep.
Just keep it up. No, no, don't stop a rockin'. All right. I'll go first with mine. It is an elephant-related movie, so I'm going to go with this. It was recommended by my lovely wife, Michelle.
Drink.
And it was an elephant movie that I was not familiar with, but it was a childhood favorite of hers. It came out in 1993, and it's called A Far Off Place. And it is an early performance by Reese Witherspoon.
Oh.
Just after Man in the Moon. So she's 16 years old in this, but she's playing a 14-year-old. She was actually 14 when she made Man in the Moon.
That's funny because she was in my recast for Lolita.
Nice. As the mom, right?
Yes, as the mom, yes.
So number 287, A Far Off Place from 1993, recommended by my lovely wife, Michelle. That's at @MKS_artist if people want to hit her up on Twitter. A very early Reese Witherspoon / Ethan Embry movie. Ethan Embry is the city kid who's in Africa getting away from it all and gets caught up in this this attempt to escape these poachers. It says it's a Disney movie in which they collaborate and they must escape the elephant poachers who murder her parents. And that's not a spoiler because that's like in the first act. So 287, A Far Off Place. What are you checking in first, Sean?
Number 301 for me is a movie called Life After Beth. It's from 2014. It's now on Netflix. Aubrey Plaza.
Zomcom?
Zomcom. Aubrey Plaza's in it, and so is Molly Shannon.
Okay.
And what's his face?
Who's the dude? I can't remember the dude.
It's Allie's favorite actor, John C. Reilly.
Okay, yeah. He's great.
He's in it. Anyway, she's a zombie, and so are a lot of other people.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a global pandemic kind of thing. But the boyfriend tries to make a go of it with her, there's a lot of smooth jazz. Apparently, smooth jazz calms nice. Zombies.
As it should.
And
smooth jazz calms me in traffic.
So for me, that made the movie worthwhile, was all the smooth jazz jokes and references.
Very nice. All right, my 286 is a movie that I mentioned last week because our honey roast subject, Mickey Dolenz, plays a nearsighted bus driver on the campaign tour. It's Linda Lovelace for President. Now, this is a movie that came out in 1975, and it was part of an attempt on her and her people's part to move her into the mainstream after the success of Deep Throat. So, the review. Not an elephant movie, but had to watch it for the Mickey Dolenz cameo. Intentionally bad, hopefully, and hits every possible offensive stereotype. The 70s were weird. And so when I say every possible offensive stereotype, there are racial jokes, there are gay jokes, there are lesbian jokes, there are rape jokes, there every single...
Nobody's safe.
No one is safe. The movie itself is pretty bad, but it was one that had slipped through the cracks in my knowledge. So that is the second one I'm going to check in. How about for you?
Number 303, recommended to me by a friend of mine, Ingrid Goes West.
Yes.
It's another Aubrey Plaza movie.
Yeah, it's good.
2017, also starring one of our favorite recasts, Elizabeth Olsen.
Oh, she's my fave.
And it's a cautionary tale of the dangers of social media fame and the quest for popularity. I enjoyed it, although the moral of the story at the end's a little muddy because,
yeah.
And I don't want to give away the ending, but at the end you're like, really?
Just leave it at that. It's muddy.
That's the message you want to convey?
The basic premise of the movie is we've got this girl who, she has her own issues and she's obsessed with, social media fame, like you said, and she kind of starts stalking this other girl. And to the point where she follows her.
She insinuates herself into her life.
Yes.
And becomes friends with her and her husband. And does a good job of it for a while.
For a little while.
But it is a pretty fragile facade. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. All right. So the next one that I wrote down that I'm going to... Oh, it's called The Tale. And this was recommended by... our peers, the very popular My Favorite Murder podcast, who we're going to see
in September.
I'm super psyched about that. But it's a movie recommended by Georgia on that show, and it's called The Tale. It stars Laura Dern, and it's based on the real-life incidents in the childhood of the filmmaker Jennifer Fox. She portrays Laura Dern, who's a journalist, who reluctantly confronts repressed memories of abuse from her childhood.
Oh, yeah. So on the topic of My Favorite Murder, I've heard a lot of people and seen a lot of people on Twitter talking about The Staircase.
Yes.
Which was originally recommended to me by My Favorite Murder in one of their very earliest episodes.
Indeed.
And it drives me crazy that people call it the Netflix show Staircase.
Yeah.
It's not a Netflix show. It was produced and broadcast on the Sundance Channel. Netflix picked it up years later. This thing's been around for a while.
So. And that is a slippery slope, or a slippery staircase, if you will, with this new platform of streaming services. People see the Netflix logo pop up at the beginning, and they're like, wow, Netflix made a really good movie.
Yeah.
You know?
No, this series was a Sundance show.
And it's even more confusing because Netflix and Stars and Amazon Prime actually do make their own content, and it's usually pretty good.
Yeah.
So it is confusing.
Anyway, sorry to jump off topic.
No problem.
Number 307 for me, and I really enjoyed this film. This was recommended to me by one of our listeners. It's called American Pop. It's from 1981. It is an animated film produced by Ralph Bakshi.
Oh, nice.
And it is the tale of four generations of a Russian Jewish immigrant family of musicians whose careers parallel the American pop music history of the 20th century.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
It's great.
I gotta check that out. I love Ralph Bakshi's work.
It's a great film. The animation style is so cool.
Off the top of my head, he did the Lord of the Rings movie. I believe The Hobbit. And other things.
I think he did Fritz the Cat.
Fritz the Cat, yeah. Yes.
Cool World was one of his later ones that wasn't as good. But this one's great. The animation style is super realistic in that I think they used a lot of actors and they kind of animated them by hand.
Is it called Rotoscope?
There might be some of that.
He definitely used that sometimes.
But what's even cooler still is that he used a lot of... And the opening of the film starts out with his sketchbook. And so these sketches are more organic. And those are also incorporated into some of the background shots as well. So you have these very realistic foregrounds and these very impressionistic, organic, cartoonish backgrounds. Nice. And except for how the final generation in the 80s is portrayed, everything is immaculate. I would say it's one of those 98% movies. The last 2% I have issues with.
Gotcha.
He's kind of a punk guy. Yet he sits down and plays, I'm not going to spoil it, you have to watch it. The songs he plays, you're like, really? That's your song choice?
I am going to watch it.
But it's good. I highly recommend that.
And speaking of watching things, I watched the movie that we're going to talk about next with my lovely wife, Michelle. Drink. And it's from 1996. It's called Larger Than Life. Sean, what did you think of this movie?
I liked it a lot better than Operation Dumbo Drop.
I would completely agree with that.
It's not a great film, don't get me wrong.
It is directed by Howard Franklin, who I was surprised to see had directed a few other movies that I've heard of and seen. One is called Quick Change with Bill Murray, Randy Quaid, and Gina Davis. He also directed the movie The Name of the Rose, the medieval drama with... Christian Slater and Sean Connery. Then also a movie that Knowles has seen with, I believe, Steve Martin and Jack Black called The Big Year about bird hunters.
Cool.
Bird hunters? Not bird hunters. Birders.
Just birders.
People who go out bird watching and logging and things like that. All right. So the movie... It's called Larger Than Life. It's from 1996. It's about a motivational speaker who finds out that he has a father who was apparently still alive all this time, who has left him an inheritance, a rather large inheritance.
Wah, wah.
And his name is Jack Corcoran. Not Cochran, Corcoran.
Corcoran.
And he also has to interact with... Oh, well, we should just go ahead and say the inheritance is an elephant. It's a big-ass elephant. And so in order to try and divest himself of this elephant, he gets in touch with Janine Garofalo's character, Mo, who is like a...
San Diego Zoo elephant...
elephant person. Specialist.
But he also talks to Linda Fiorentino's character.
Linda Fiorentino.
Fiorentino.
Whose name was Terry, and she runs like an animal entertainment company where they kind of exploit the animals.
Well, they're talent.
Yes. So then it kind of presents the moral dilemma right there for you.
Opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, you've got your animal entertainment company, or you've got your San Diego Zoo elephant lady who's bringing a herd of elephants down to...
Indonesia?
Sri Lanka.
Yeah,
I think it was Sri Lanka to release them into the wild. And then also, along the way, we run into...
No.
Tip Tucker, the tweaked out trucker.
No.
Portrayed by Matthew McConaughey.
No.
Who, one of the weirder performance he's turned in.
It's
and
weird.
That's saying weird for Matthew McConaughey.
You and I both agree that this was like his primer.
His proto Russ Cole from True Detective. Yes.
It's so over the top.
And it's not the first act Russ Cole. It's the after the
afterwards,
fact. Afterwards. Yes.
And it's very similar to a Nicolas Cage performance. It's off the charts. It's really, really frenetic and weird.
Similar to Nicolas Cage's performance in the movie Deadfall we watched last week.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into our recasting of this.
Do it.
All right. So first up, we've got Bill Murray, who was 46 at the time. And with mine, I was trying to think about Bill Murray. He's kind of like the comedic voice of a generation, right? And so it's kind of hard to pin down somebody these days who's the voice of their generation because there's so many different voices. But also, I needed somebody who was high energy, right? This guy's a motivational speaker. So I went with another one of our peers, one Paul F. Tompkins in the Bill Murray role. He is high energy. He loves to get into character. He is hilarious. He has or had a podcast called the Paul F. Tompcast. He's also was a regular on Comedy Bang Bang. Great guy. And I think he would do a bang up job in the 2018 remake of Larger Than Life.
I'm cool with that one. I went with somebody who I think of Bill Murray being a more understated, subdued kind of delivery guy.
Okay.
He's also very well liked by a lot of people.
Yes, so he's very affable.
So I tried to find somebody who a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I like that guy. So sort of age appropriate. He's 44 years old. And he does comedy quite well. I picked Adam Scott.
Oh, Adam Scott. I thought about him. I really did.
Yeah.
He has a deadpan delivery style.
And I think for this role, interacting with the elephant, being a completely fish out of water, I think Adam Scott would be good in this part.
He would be outstanding.
And he's a huge Republican. No, I'm kidding. He's not.
I don't think so.
He's not.
Oh, because of the elephant thing. Okay.
I'm kidding.
All right. Now, next up, we've got the role of Mo, portrayed by Janine Garofalo. Janine Garofalo started out as a stand-up comic.
Yes.
And so my pick is somebody who has recently portrayed a stand-up comic to great acclaim on the show The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and her name...
Maisel?
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and her name is Rachel Brosnahan.
Good choice.
Rachel Brosnahan is 27 now. She's been in some other things that aren't immediately coming to mind, but I think she's going places.
I'm surprised you didn't pick mine. She is... Janine Garofalo as a younger generation. And I've picked her before. We've all shopped her before. Uh-huh. It's probably unfair to pick her, but I couldn't not cast her in the role. It's Ellen Page.
Oh, Ellen Page. Yeah, she is kind of a little mini Garofalo.
I mean, she's very, very much so.
That's interesting. Hillary would boo right now if she were here. She hates Ellen Page, but I sometimes think that they remind me of each other a little bit. All right, next up, we've got... Tip Tucker, the tweaked out trucker. So we first encounter him in the diner. He's like, oh man, don't eat that. You know, that's all full of all this shit from the government. He's like into conspiracy theories. He hasn't slept for a couple weeks. He agrees to give Jack Corcoran and the elephant a ride, but only through subterfuge on Bill Murray's part. And so I want to hear your Tip Tucker first.
I went with somebody who is a natural comedian.
Okay.
Who would be much funnier at this than Matthew McConaughey. I think McConaughey was out of his depth on this part. He was trying way too hard, which is sad because he was so good in Dazed and Confused, but that's because he had a great director.
Yes.
And he nailed it in his audition.
Richard Linklater.
Yeah. So he was in The Big Sick. Lately he's more known for his writing, his directing, and his producing. But he was also The Dead Giveaway. He was in Zack Stone in 2013. I went with Bo Burnham.
Oh, Bo Burnham. Yeah, he's got that movie out, Eighth Grade, right now. Yes. Did you just mention that?
Yeah, well, I'd say he's done a lot of writing and producing.
Yeah,
and
so this movie is supposed to be amazing. I haven't gone to see it yet.
I haven't gotten to either.
Fuck MoviePass, by the way. They just reduced their membership plan to 3 movies a month. Is it 3 a month? Yeah, 3 fucking movies a month as compared to 1 a day.
2018's Napster.
But apparently as of last Tuesday, they didn't have enough money to pay the rent.
Oh my god.
So they had to like change things up. And of course it was in their terms
of service. If we can't pay the rent, y'all going to get fucked.
No, we can change things at any point. Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it makes me mad. But apparently McJunkin has figured out a workaround on blocked movies. Like, say, for example, you wanted to go see Mission Impossible, but it was already sold out. What you can do is go earlier in the day and get your ticket and then come back with MoviePass and see it later.
Ooh, hack it.
Yeah, so hack the system like McJunkin. All right, who we got up next? Oh, it's me. My pick for Tip Tucker.
Tweak Tap, Ted Tucker the Trucker.
Tip Tucker the Tweaked Out Trucker. I went with Adam Driver. Adam Driver from the film Logan Lucky.
Yeah.
Where he's got long hair. He's kind of a North Carolina NASCAR redneck. And he's a well-respected actor. He's got a lot of things going on right now.
Adam Driver does not get defined by the Star Wars films.
Oh, I don't think he is.
As good as he is in those.
I mean, he started out on Girls. Yeah. And his performances as Kylo Ren are great, but I think he's known for other things as well.
Yep.
All right. We got one more, right?
Last one.
Linda Fiorentino. She was also in the movie called Jade. Do you ever see Jade?
It's a
real like erotic thriller thing. She plays Terry Bonura. And she's the head of this like very wealthy animal entertainment company, and she's willing to give Jack $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. It's like money is no object to her, but he also learns that they don't treat the animals so well. And so my pick is somebody who reminds me of Linda Fiorentino, and she was also in Firefly and the follow-up movie Serenity as the companion. Her name is Morena Baccarin,
mm-hmm.
and she's also in Deadpool.
Yep.
Recently.
She's quite
both
good.
Of them. Yeah, she's the girlfriend. She's 39 now. Now Linda Fiorentino, if you look up her age, it says she was born in one of 2 years, which means she's given like different ages.
Yeah, she was in her early 40s.
She's either 36 or 38.
I think she was 39. I thought.
So that's just like, she's a liar. And anyway, so,
she's a liar.
Yeah. So who do you have?
I picked someone who's much older, but no less sexy.
Okay.
Can
I guess?
Sure.
Marissa Tomei.
No.
Okay.
No, I went with somebody who is 47. She's going to be 47 this month.
She was born in 1947?
No, she's going to be 47 this month. She was in The Watchmen. She was in Sin City. She was in San Andreas. And she was in Gerald's Game. Talking about Carla Gugino.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen Gerald's Game yet, but I hear it's a good thriller.
Oh, yeah. It's like fucked up. Like they're trying to spice...
Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
Well, no, the premise is basic. I mean, they're trying to spice up their marriage. And she gets tied up in bed and then he dies.
Oh, shit. So she's trapped there.
Sort of, yeah.
Oh, that's what
I've
read. Up.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to watch it. Do you want to watch it together?
I don't think we're going to watch it together and hold hands. Not like last time. All right. So we're done with the recast of Larger Than Life, the better of the two elephant movies.
Agreed.
That came out in the mid-90s. So we're going to move it on to the honey roast. We've already talked about them a little bit. Today we're going to roast on... McConaughey! Hey. So he's currently, well, he might be on the tail end of it. It might have been a bubble, but the McConaissance, as I call it, with True Detective and Dallas Buyers Club and all these movies where he's not satisfied just to play the pretty boy or the romantic,
which he did quite a bit
for
of
a
that.
Long time, but from what I've heard in interviews is he did that because he had to and he made that money, and now he's like, I get to pick the things that I want to do. And so my honey roast of him is twofold. One is those Lincoln commercials.
Oh yeah,
like so bizarre. I love it so much.
Well, those came out right after True Detective.
Yeah,
and they were obviously
kind of a little bit inspired by Time is a Flat Circle. And then also, as I previously mentioned, Dallas Buyers Club, the movie. Didn't he win an Oscar for that? I'm pretty sure he did. If not, he deserved to.
No, he
Jared,
didn't. He
Jared
didn't
Leto,
Leto
won.
Leto won. Yeah, but
it was a very important movie because it really brought to people's attention the massive scam that the pharmaceutical companies are. So those are my two shout outs for Matthew McConaughey. Hey.
Well, I'll start with the obvious, and I mentioned it a minute ago. He nailed that audition of Dazed and Confused.
Yes.
That all right was his. That was his bit. He brought it into the audition, and Richard said, "Yeah, that's it. You're going.
That's our guy."
He was in a Levi's commercial with my friend Kent Bearden. Yeah, and what was the movie that he was in with? It was Made in Manhattan.
Yeah, with J-Lo.
J-Lo. Okay, yeah. So he was in that. My friend Kent was in this, and he said that, extras don't generally speak to the talent, you know, but he did.
Okay.
Because he said, "Hey, I'm from Texas. You're from Texas.
Yeah.
We were in a Levi's commercial together back in so and so." And he said it was really funny because you could see like McConaughey had his guard up
at first,
immediately.
Yeah.
And when he said that, he was like, "All right, yeah, man.
Yeah, I remember you."
You know. And of course, he didn't remember.
Did you ever get paid for that, man?
So that's pretty neat that he's still a human.
Hell yeah.
He's still a human being. The True Detective for me.
Season one of True Detective was just transformational.
An exquisite show. Mm-hmm. And he and Woody Harrelson did such a fantastic job.
Their dynamic is perfect.
Yep. So that's, those are the good things I got to say about him.
Very nice. All right. And so some other good things that we have to say is thank you to, there's no guests to think about plugs, but we should plug. What did you want to plug?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, we got to tell a story about this.
Oh, shit.
We're going to plug Right Answers with Wrong Travis. This is the trivia show at Seminar Brewing starting on August 22nd. It's going to be a Wednesday night affair, and we're going to do it for 12 weeks, but we do have to skip Halloween.
Yeah, I was thinking about that today. We have to work that out.
It's not on the schedule. But anyway, if you're in the area and you want to form a team, please do. There'll be nightly prizes.
If you want to show everybody how smart you are.
Well, there'll be weekly prizes, but also over the 12-week period, we're going to track scores, so we will have a grand prize winner at the end of the 12 weeks.
Very nice.
But I did order the question sheets as well as the team sheets, and they got delivered to my house yesterday. And
at 5:30.
At 5:47, they were delivered. We got home at 8, and the box was gone.
No package in sight.
So somebody in Florence, South Carolina, has stolen a box of paper.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That they cannot use.
Congratulations.
It's seminar trivia paper.
Congratulations, you stupid fucks.
I hope that you use it to heat your home. The podcast itself, we want to plug that. Thank you to you, the listeners. And if you're a first-time listener, please give us a review or a rating on iTunes or whatever it is that you're listening to us on. We would really appreciate that. And if you are on iTunes, go ahead and subscribe to the show. Even if you don't listen to us, we get that subscription, man.
Yeah, keep listening. We've got some good topics coming up, too. Indeed. In the coming weeks.
What is our next one up?
These are going to be the films of our a couple of weeks in a row. We're going to be looking at next week.
Is it Patrick Swayze?
Films of Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze, and which my lovely wife Michelle has agreed to come on, as I believe Hillary awesome. Will be here as well.
I think we're doing Tim Burton. We're doing Werner Herzog.
Oh, Werner Herzog.
So we've got some really good ones. So this one was quite a departure episode for us.
All right. And so also you can tweet us. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. And our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. And I'm still being bad about checking the emails. I'm like 1 week behind on checking Dana's emails.
Yeah.
By the way, once again, Dana, you can be our intern and do the Department of Corrections. Also, we check in the beers on Untappd. We are Cinema Chop Shop on Untappd. Still working on the Instagram thing. We will let you know when that happens. I want to thank Sean, the engineer, editor, and
brew boss,
guy who's doing the heavy lifting. And thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for listening as always. And please remember to watch, chop, retrofit.
Let's go have a birthday party.
Let's do it.
It's my birthday.